Let's commit this time before the Lord in prayer so that our hearts can be prepared for his word. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have manna prepared for us today. And you've called us into your presence and you have prepared this banquet in the desert. Father, we thank you that we walk by faith and not by sight. Grant and help each of us to hear, not only in the mind, but in the heart. And so, Lord, we thank you for this word. And our heart's desire is that this glorifies your name and lifts the name of Jesus high, in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I've got a title here for us to consider today. And we're calling this teaching, Walking Worthy of the Calling. Walking Worthy of the Calling. Saints, you not only are called from the foundation of the world, but with that calling, you have a walk. And that walk is not independent with you doing your own thing. But it is walking in covenant and relationship with the Lord. In other words, it's Romans 8, walking in the Spirit. And this takes time. We don't get this when we're first saved. We're all very zealous, full of works. We're all out ready to move heaven and earth for Jesus. But we find in time that we have to learn wisdom and knowledge and understanding. We start to have to learn what faith is about. And that faith isn't an emotion, a feeling in the mind. It is in the heart. And we know that our faith comes as we hear the word of God, Romans 10:17. And it's a walk. It's a lifelong walk. And as God delivers us and removes those hindrances to our faith and closes those doors in our minds where we're still oppressed or confused or don't know what the word of God says. This is why we teach the deeper life, because the nature of the deeper life is deliverance. It is getting us to mature as sons of God, Romans 8, to walk in the Spirit. And this is the work of God. And this is why I want to talk today about walking worthy of the calling. I'm going to start this off in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 to 3. You know this very well. Ephesians 4, verses 1 to 3. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavouring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And then he goes on, there's one body, one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father, above all, through all, and in all. So there, in those few verses, it is calling us into true unity and oneness of the Spirit. Only the Holy Spirit can achieve this work. It cannot be done by man. Man has tried to build this unity, oneness, and what have we landed up with? Denominations, organizations, all of which don't agree. And how, of course, the enemy has used this over the century. So the apostle opens up with this, and this can only be achieved by God working through the fivefold ministry, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. And here it is in verse 13. This is the work that is happening. This is the work that's taking place in FGA and other assemblies around the world who now want to go on to a deeper life and walk with God. And here it says, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. For the purpose that we no longer are like children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and cunning craftiness, a deceitful plotting. So that is what it's to do. This maturity that God is working with us now by the Spirit, through the baptism of the Spirit, is to bring us into unity, to bring us into a faith walk, to bring us into the knowledge of Jesus Christ, to the measure and stature of the fullness of Christ. In other words, Romans 8 is that I no longer walk in my own strength, my own ability. I walk by the power of the Spirit of Christ who lives in me. I decrease that he increases. And this is achieved by the cross you take up daily and follow God. That's all God wants of you. And the Holy Spirit, he will do the rest. He is the master builder of his church. This is why I am such a stickler that God baptizes us into his body for fellowship, unity, oneness, just like today. Doesn't matter where we live around the world, he has brought us under the anointing, under his presence, the unction of the Spirit, to change us, to deliver us, to empower us for this work. That we no longer are like children, running about here and there, this ministry, that church, whatever it is, simply getting more and more confused. One of the things I have to deal with as a minister is the confusion that Christians are in. What they have picked up because they're listening to wrong teachers, where it injects this poison. And it takes time sometimes to get delivered from this, to close the door into the mind, because that's where the enemy has access. And this is why we bring you back to the Word of God and how God is building his body, preparing his bride in these last days. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, even Christ. So he says, grow up, mature, unto the headship of Jesus Christ. Now that will never happen unless you are under his headship. If you are under the headship of an organization or under man or a pope, this will never ever happen. It is not by might, not by power, it is by my Spirit, says the Lord. And then he goes on in verse 16, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every joint, supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself. So the ministries that God has placed upon you, whatever your calling, your function, your ministry, all supplies for the unity and oneness of the Spirit. This is a spiritual work, brothers and sisters. This is not bricks and mortar, which we're so accustomed to, thinking that that is a church. We are worshippers of God in spirit and in truth. And he said, where two or three gather together, there am I in the midst. This is a spiritual work, to walk in Romans 8. To mature, to grow, to move beyond these immature things that we still want. Where you find in churches so much bickering and arguing and strife and jealousy. You can't grow in that environment. That's why I had to come away from it years back. I knew I would never grow in that. They don't want to grow. They don't really love the Lord. You find it's just lip service. But God is drawing a remnant to himself. As the wise virgins preparing and making themselves ready with that oil of anointing. And what is that? The anointing upon the word of God. For if you know the truth, then the truth sets you free, as Jesus said. So we're talking then today about walking worthy of the calling. We are in the times of restoration, where God is reconciling. He is bringing us back to Christ, bringing us back to his headship. He's bringing us back to what we should have been. We are being brought back like the book of Acts, where the Holy Spirit was sovereign. He did the building. He did the preaching. He did the healing. And people simply moved by the Spirit. We're being restored back for this, brothers and sisters. We are in the times of reconciliation, where God again, Christ, is taking his headship over his body. And this is why I see around the world so much now where the church is going back into the home, going back to families, those who love the Lord, who are waiting upon him. There he will build his assembly, his called out people, those who want to worship him in spirit and in truth. That is what I've seen today by the work of the Spirit. God isn't putting new wine into old wineskins, as many of them are trying to do. He's not doing that. It's new wine, new wineskins. That is how God always works when he does a new work. You see, the tragedy is that the church ceased to be spiritual, leaving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and by the second century, the baptism of the Spirit had gone. Man was taking over, organizing. And when that happens, you become self-seeking. You become interested in your own things, your own organization. You no longer are sensitive to the will of God and to the word of God and what he says. You see, Paul speaks here of not only seeing Christ individually, but collectively. We've just read this to you in Ephesians 4, 1 onwards. So it's not just happening to me, but this is also a collective work by the Spirit, where we're all being affected. We're all being moved by the power of the Spirit, moving into our calling, our function, our ministry. I've always held that the church, each one of you have a ministry, a calling. And you find out what that calling is, where you fit, so that your ministry fills up that which is lacking in the body of Christ. And that includes your prayers, your intercessions, praying one for another, praying for the word that you hear. All of that helps to build up the unity and oneness, and that God can use you. You are called, brothers and sisters, to go out and make disciples. It's not left to the pastor or the teacher, which so often today it is. Oh, he's anointed. He's the one that should do it. No. The work is clear. You go out. You make disciples. You baptize them in water in the name of Jesus and lay hands on them that they receive the power of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. That is your work, your function. How many are doing that today? They don't, because it's controlled by man. Someone you think is anointed of God. They're the ones that are qualified to do that. Get back into the Word of God, I challenge you. The church in the book of Acts, they went out, they made disciples of Christ. They moved alongside. They moved alongside families or a person, and God opened up. And they're sharing, opening up the Word of God to them. This is what you should do with your Bibles. Open up the Word of God. Read the Word of God. That is seed being sown into their hearts as they hear, you see. It's not rocket science, this. It is being sensitive to the Spirit, knowing how the Holy Spirit works. I just want to recap while we're talking about the Holy Spirit, the work of God. It's interesting, the Holy Spirit has always been present. He was present right at creation. Genesis 1:2, when the Spirit moved and hovered, there he was creating the heavens and the earth. And we find in the Old Testament how the Holy Spirit would fall like a mantle and then he would leave. But he was still working under the Old Covenant. He was empowering people, anointing them for special functions. We certainly know that in the book of Judges. How about Samson? We know that Samson, he was supernaturally empowered to do mighty works on behalf of God. But also the Spirit left him as well. So we see the Holy Spirit was very active, even in the Old Testament. He would anoint individuals for certain tasks. But afterwards, after they'd done whatever they were to do, he would leave. Unlike today, we now, through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he now indwells with us permanently. As Jesus said in John 14:17, that the Holy Spirit, he dwells with you and shall be in you. And we, of course, saw that at the outpouring of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit there forming the visible church. It's interesting that in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit inspired the saints. He gave them wisdom, knowledge, and skills. He enabled them to be able to build the tabernacle, the temple. God gave Moses all the understanding of building the temple and its furnishings. God gave skills by the Spirit to those that he chose to perform the works. He inspired by the Spirit the prophets to speak. This is why God spoke to Israel through the prophets by the Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit that inspired the Old Testament scriptures. David, King David, was inspired to write the Psalms. He says in one of the Psalms, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. So there we see in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God was working. And now in the New Testament dispensation, we see that God has given us the word. He speaks to us through the anointing, through the unction of the Spirit, as he raises the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. There he equips those ministries in which to speak direct revelation to you that flesh and blood doesn't reveal. We now are empowered by the Spirit. He doesn't leave us. He dwells with us 24/7. And this is why you are moved and led by the Spirit. And this always comes as you have a prayer life. Prayer is very instrumental in releasing and anointing the move of the Spirit. I cannot preach this word unless I'm in prayer, praying and birthing it through. So that is why prayer is so essential now, particularly that we are filled with the Holy Spirit, so that he can work through us. So that the Holy Spirit can work through the church, through each of us, so that we can come under his headship. And that's why he empowers you as Christians with your ministry, your witness, to walk with Christ in relationship. All of this is an empowerment of the Spirit working in your life. It's not a feeling. It's not an emotion. It is believing that God is going to use me this day, for I am empowered by the Spirit of God. Sometimes you have to confess this. You have to be in prayer for this. This is why each day when we wake up, I'm available, I'm ready to be used by the Spirit of Almighty God, because I'm empowered by the Spirit. The very power that raised Christ from the dead is the very power that works in and through me. Gosh, it's mind-boggling. And how the enemy tries to keep us trapped in our emotions, our feelings, or the trials that I'm going through. He's all the while attacking to try and take our eyes off the Lord and off his word. I wonder why, brothers and sisters. The enemy doesn't like this teaching today, I can assure you. But God is always one step ahead, is he not? And this is why he gives ministry, for the very purpose, so that we can develop spiritually. I can develop a spiritual life. This is causing me to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. The Holy Spirit, he is the builder of his church. I can't do it. You can't do it. But it's as we yield, we don't resist, we allow the Spirit to build in and through us. You are his workmanship. Whether you're a hand, a toe, a leg or an arm or whatever it is, you are his workmanship and he's building through you and me. That is the miracle of all of this. Don't try and work it out. Just believe that he is doing it. So the question I raise is, am I concerned about his building, Christ's body? Or are my own personal needs and what I want to do more important? Because that's the question. And the only way this is ever going to be achieved is when the cross is in your life, that you daily are to take up. And when you settle that, and you've gone to your Gethsemane and settled the cross in your life, you will begin to see the Holy Spirit beginning to work in and through you. And as you yield to that work and what he wants you to do and don't resist or fight, you will begin to see building taking place. It's supernatural. You see, the Holy Spirit, he's a gentleman and he's given you a free will and he never, ever forces. But once you have surrendered, you've placed yourself on that altar, Romans 12, 1 and 2, and you're willing to take up your cross daily and follow the Lord, then God is going to make it very clear you are not your own anymore, but that I have purchased you through my Son's precious blood, that we might dwell and have our abode and fellowship with you. He will make that absolutely clear. And you will know that. And you will tremble at that. You will have the fear of God at that, that you don't mess about. This is fire. And fire can consume. This is what's coming to God's church before he comes for his bride. This is how she's making herself ready. What does it say in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10? Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. This is why the apostles say, I die daily, that the life of Christ may manifest in me. How many see that? How many preachers do you have today who really teach this? Few. And you know why? Because it has to be revealed. And God's got a remnant whom he's drawing to himself, where he's going to see his image in each of us. Not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord. Everything is done by the power of the Spirit of God. You try and achieve this and you'll fall flat on your face. This is why God does not receive religious works or lip service. He only receives lives that are yielded over, presented to him, and then he will take that sacrifice and he will work through that. For each of us are a living sacrifice, which we present ourselves back to God. And that is a free choice. You don't have to do that. But when we see the deeper life, when we begin to grasp what God is doing, we then give ourselves back to him for service, that the fire will fall, and that he will begin to take over in our weakness. Are you weak? Are you ineffectual? Do you wonder what God ever saw in choosing you? If you are, then I can say you're pretty well called of God. But if you see yourself of great use, God chose me because of my education, my background, or whatever it would be, I question whether you have been called of God or you know him. This is why he calls the foolish of this world in which to confound the wise, to bring down man's wisdom, man's pride. And that's what we're beginning to see in these closing days. God now is bringing down man's pride, man's wisdom, man's arrogance. He's bringing it all down because he said in the last days, I will shake the heavens and the earth in Hebrews. And that's what's happening on a global level. Everything is being shaken. But those who stand firm upon the rock of Jesus Christ, they will not be affected by this shaking. Why? Because you are discerning, you're seeing the hand of God at work. God is soon to come to judge this world. We are rapidly moving toward the coming of the Lord, and most do not even see this. In many churches, ministers, they don't see this, but you do. Blessed are your eyes. For flesh and blood does not reveal this to you, but it comes by your Father who opens your eyes to see. Because you are men and women who now are beginning to walk by the Spirit and not by the flesh. You are going to thank God. You are going to be so grateful that you do not walk in darkness like most do, but that he's opened your eyes to see. It's not always easy. Sometimes it's hard to swallow what's going on. The rebellion, the falling away, the murders, the age that we live in, the news, which is so negative. But God's grace is sufficient, because he's opened our eyes to understand what is happening with the great falling away that's taking place. And this is why we're going to appreciate more and more his body. And as I close, I'm going to remind you again, when God called FGA into being, one of the visions he gave us was that this is a spiritual ark, and the door is open to this spiritual ark until God finally closes it. This is why we see in the Church of Philadelphia, there is a door that is open that no man can shut. And that door is to go through for the kingdom of God. The same as Noah warned the people, and God kept that door open until they were all into the ark and the animals. Then God shut that door. And Jesus said in the last days, it will be like the times of Noah. But that family was saved because that ark rose and took them above the waters and saved them. And the church, the overcoming church, where Christ is head over his body, we enter in through that door into this spiritual ark where God is going to preserve and keep us from the great judgment that will fall upon the earth. And as that starts, so this spiritual ark, the church's body, will rise up above it, because Christ will appear in the clouds and sound that trumpet and call the overcomers, the first fruits, to himself. That is the vision that God gave many, many years back for this church. I can only speak for this church, but we know that there is a remnant all around the world who are embracing now this call to sonship, walking by the Spirit, Romans 8. So there we are, brothers and sisters. We've been talking about today walking worthy of the calling.